Hello, this is Lynn. Welcome to the Didcot, Abingdon and Wantage Talking Newspaper Dawn, recorded on Wednesday the 17th of April 2024. As usual, you'll hear a number of news items from local sources, and you will also be able to listen to extra items from the RNIB magazine service at the end. I am the editor. Our readers this week are Veronica, Nadine, Rob and Irene. Our technician is Ken, and Ufuk and Karen are in the office. We start with a story about a diamond wedding celebration.
Hello, this is Irene. A royal message for a diamond wedding pair. A couple received a message from King Charles and Queen Camilla as they were celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary at a restaurant in Wallingford. The surprise unfolded when Newbury Town Crier Brian Sylvester presented a photo card from the royals to Sarah and John Gross at the Italian restaurant Avanti. The couple were celebrating their diamond wedding anniversary at a meal with their family. Cromarsh Gifford resident Sarah, who was a University College Hospital student nurse, and John, a former Metropolitan Police Constable, married 6 decades ago in Beaconsfield St Mary and All Saints Church. After getting married, they raised 2 sons and a daughter in West London before moving to Cromarsh Gifford in 2017. The event marked the final engagement as town crier for Mr. Sylvester before his retirement after serving for 25 years. Mr. Sylvester was happy to honour Sarah and John, his former Toastmaster colleague at the London Guild of Toastmasters. After elder son Mark had congratulated the couple and raised a toast to their health, their daughter Helen presented a card from the family and their younger son Andrew, presented a floral display of white roses from town florists. The family then enjoyed a dinner of scallops and prawns, roast duck with limoncello sauce, desserts, cheese board, coffee and port, and Italian red and white wine.
Hello, this is Veronica. Second biggest estate has no GP surgery 17 years on. Residents of a 3,000 home estate are no nearer getting a GP surgery, even though plans for it were first passed 17 years ago. Outline permission for Great Western Park in Didcot, which will see 3,300 homes built by 2026, was initially granted in 2008 and a surgery was included in plans. Years later, the land which would be allocated of the surgery and which an existing GP practice would be interested in running, is still empty. Dr. Rachel Ward of Woodlands Medical Centre said, "We're getting about 100 new patients a week, which is a crazy number. We closed our list for a while in order to catch up. We have got some capacity at the moment, but we're really, really struggling for actual space." Ian Snowden, a district and county councillor, said he had been arguing for a surgery on the estate for over a decade and has had numerous meetings with authorities. He said, "You have a meeting and all the stakeholders sit down and it sounds so positive. You think, yes, we're going to go for it. Ed Vasey campaigned for it, and when David Johnston became MP, he arranged a meeting. Then he got exactly the same update I've had every 6 months for the past 7 years or more, as long as I've been a councillor." He added, "With all these new houses being built, the people moving into them have to stick with their old GP, wherever that might be." He said there were also now some concerns about the plot available having been outgrown as Great Western Park has expanded exponentially. Didcot MP Mr. Johnston said, "Great Western Park residents have been waiting years and years for the GP surgery that they were promised. This delay is completely unacceptable. Every time there's a local election coming, the Lib Dems running the council pretend they're about to make progress with it, but after the election, people see it's no further forward. I have raised this in Parliament multiple times, both as an issue by itself and as part of my broader campaigning for more health facilities for our area. I will continue to do this and fully support the great work that Councillor Snowden is doing to hold them accountable." NHS Buckinghamshire, Oxfordshire and Berkshire West Integrated Care Board, ICB, is responsible for delivering GP practices in Didcot. A spokesperson said, We are closely monitoring the number of GP patient registrations in Didcot and the surrounding area. In addition to the new GP premises plan for Great Western Park, we are working with Woodlands Medical Centre on expanding facilities in its existing building to meet demand for care. Vale of Whitehorse and South Oxfordshire District Councils said it was in the hands of the ICB to develop their business case, although we have been doing our utmost to cooperate with the ICB throughout this process. But the councils did say the ICB recently approved the business case for creating a new building and agreed to provide funding for it, in addition to the money from developer contributions known as Section 106 funding. A spokesperson said, "The Vale of Whitehorse District Council is currently working with housing developer Taylor Wimpey to take transfer of the site as set out in the Section 106 agreement. Once the site is transferred to the Vale, the council will enter into agreement for lease with the NHS's primary care developer, who will build the new premises and then lease it to Woodlands Medical Centre, which will run it as a branch surgery." They added that the councils and local GP practices had been working closely for many years to try to bring forward an allocated site at Great Western Park to provide new GP premises for the growing population.
Hello, this is Rob. Dozens are prosecuted for begging and rough sleeping. There have been dozens of prosecutions in the Thames Valley for begging and rough sleeping over the past 5 years, figures show. It comes as the government faces criticism over parts of the Criminal Justice Bill, which will replace the Georgian-era Vagrancy Act. The new bill could allow police to find nuisance rough sleepers. Homeless charity Crisis said people living on the streets need compassion and support rather than being cast into the criminal justice system. Figures from the Ministry of Justice show there were 49 prosecutions in the Thames Valley under the Vagrancy Act in the 5 years to June 2023. Of these, 47 were for begging offences, 2 were for sleeping out offences. Under the 1824 law, anyone prosecuted faces a fine of up to £1,000 and a criminal record. Across England and Wales, there have been nearly 2,888 prosecutions under the Act, just 13 were for sleeping out, while the rest were for begging. Overall, 2,300, 80%, resulted in a conviction, including 40 in Thames Valley. Separately, freedom of information requests showed there were 2,412 arrests across 29 police forces since 2019 under the Vagrancy Act. It included 125 arrests by Thames Valley Police. Leila Moran, Liberal Democrat MP for Oxford West and Abingdon, said experts across the sector have long advocated for a compassionate approach to homelessness, but instead this government is intent on treating rough sleepers with cruelty and criminalisation. Matt Downey, Crisis Chief Executive, said, "Not only are people forced to live in fear, suffering regular violence and abuse, but they must also contend with the threat of being arrested. No one should be criminalised for being homeless. The Vagrancy Act was, and continues to be, a cruel and counterproductive piece of legislation. And yet, as it stands, its incoming replacement, the Criminal Justice Bill, will be even more punitive, increasing the level of fines and introducing a vague definition of nuisance rough sleeping. What people need is compassion, support, and the ability to build a life away from the streets. Casting people into the criminal justice system is not the answer," he said. A government spokesperson said, "We are determined to end rough sleeping for good, and we have a plan to tackle the root causes of why people end up on the streets, backed by an unprecedented £2.4 billion. They said the Vagrancy Act will be replaced with legislation focused on supporting people to get off the streets while allowing authorities and the police to address behaviour that can make the public feel unsafe."
Can I breathe? Hello, this is Nadine. Explosions as fire crews battle lorry brays on A34. Loud explosions were heard as a lorry caught fire late at night on the A34 in Oxford. Fire crews battled the blaze for a number of hours, and a section of the dual carriageway was closed throughout Saturday as a major clean-up operation took place, causing disruption for motorists. The driver escaped with minor injuries after the vehicle burst into flames at around 1:30 a.m. on Saturday morning between the A423 at Hinksey Hill and A20 Botley Interchange. Nobody else was hurt, Thames Valley Police said. Resident Elizabeth Scott shared dramatic pictures taken from West Oxford. She said a series of loud explosions were heard roughly in the Botley and Westminster Way area at 1:30 a.m. This was followed by scenes of flames and smoke, with reports from the locals that it was a lorry which had caught fire at the Jarnels Hills Junction on the A34. Fire and rescue arrived shortly after 1:40 a.m. The fire, which happened on the southbound carriageway, caused severe damage to the road surface, central reservation barrier and near side barrier, and damaged both sides of the A34. Both carriageways closed overnight from Saturday into Sunday for resurfacing and recovery of the lorry. Images from the scene showed huge flames coming from the heavy goods vehicle and thick black smoke billowing. Another image shared by National Highways showed the shell of a lorry as the asphalt, which was damaged. Five fire engines from Rewley Road, Slade, Abingdon and Kidlington fire stations, as well as a water carrier from Wheatley, were called to the A34 in Oxford at 1:30 a.m. on Saturday morning. They discovered a large, well-developed heavy goods vehicle fire. Firefighters battled the flames for a number of hours in extremely arduous conditions to get the fire under control. Oxfordshire Fire and Rescue Service said this was a challenging incident which required a great deal of work from firefighters, as well as our colleagues from Thames Valley Police, South Central Ambulance Service, National Highways and Oxfordshire County Council's emergency planning team. The fire service added thank you to the local community for their support and understanding during this incident.
Concerns after reports of an armed robbery at a Tesco store. A suspected armed robbery involving a shotgun occurred at a convenience store in Grove. The incident happened at the Tesco Express store in Millbrook Square at about 6:30 a.m. on Monday. Police set up a cordon around the store, which was closed as the forensic teams conducted investigations. Police at the scene confirmed that no one was hurt during the incident, but could give no further details of what had happened. Hoping to have it reopened after a couple of hours, said the officer at the cordon. We can't disclose any information, but forensics are inside. Nearby businesses alleged an armed robbery had been called the cause of the shop closure, and police presence among those spoken to, Parsons Bakery and Arcadia, both suggested an armed robbery had taken place at the Tesco Express. Agit, the owner of Smith's DIY shop, was not in his shop when the incident happened, but was informed by others about what had occurred. I don't feel safe, we feel scared, and this has happened so many times, maybe four or five, he said. There has been robberies or people chasing each other in the area. This is the first time I have heard that it has involved a gun, though, as I heard, it was a shotgun. The shop owner and his wife were left shaken by the incident occurring so close to their business, but backed the police to deal with the matter. It does not make us feel okay knowing that guns are around here, but the police are doing their job, added Agit. Following the incident on Monday morning, Thames Valley Police confirmed that an investigation was underway. A spokesman for the force said, we are aware of an incident which took place at around 6:30 a.m. at Tesco's Express, Millbrook Square, Grove. Officers attended the scene and an investigation is underway. Clearly, we are in the very early stages of the investigation and it would be wrong and unhelpful to speculate as to the exact circumstances of the incident at this point. We believe this incident does not pose any further risk to the community or members of the public. A police spokesman said no arrests have been made as of Tuesday afternoon. A Tesco spokesperson said the Grove store temporarily closed due to the incident. A statement said our Grove Express store closed whilst we helped police with their inquiries following an incident on Monday morning. The Tesco spokesman said the store reopened as usual at normal business hours on Tuesday morning.
Exhibition marks 100th birthday of the MG. A new exhibition is celebrating the centenary of the MG sports car. Staff at Abingdon County Hall Museum have created new displays to celebrate the birth of the MG mark in an exhibition entitled MG 100, Evolution of an Icon. It recalls how in 1914, William Morris switched his business from assembling bicycles to manufacturing cars. Combining his business sense and drive with the influence of an ambitious young sales manager, Cecil Kimber, the MG sports brand was born. By 1930, the Abingdon factory was delivering MGs from its production line and was to become an inextricable part of the identity of the town for decades to come, until the MG factory closed in 1980. Museum manager Dan Sissy said, "This exhibition looks at the development of MG cars through time and tracks some landmark moments in its history, from triumphs at Le Mans to record breakers in the salt flats of Utah. Our focus is the Abingdon years, but the story of the mark lives on, notably with the recent launch of the all-electric Sipster sports car from MG Shanghai. More than 1 million MGs were made in Abingdon, about three quarters of them exported."
Peace poll in hope of harmony. A poll that signifies the desire for world peace has been erected in Abingdon. More than 50 people of various nationalities gathered at St Ethelwald's House Garden for the peace poll's unveiling. The ceremony concluded with a poem, after which everyone spoke together a community affirmation which stated, "We who stand here in sorrow for the victims of all violence today declare our hope in the future." The event was led by the town mayor, Gwyneth Lewis, who said, "Abingdon is a town of peace represented by a mayor of peace." Ms. Lewis has seen many peace polls in other countries during her work for the United Nations. In her time as mayor, she has also started the process of applying to become a recognised town of sanctuary, a global initiative which supports peace and those suffering from conflict.
Drug farmer claimed he was trafficked. A Vietnamese man who claimed he was trafficked to the UK and forced to water the plants by gangsters to pay off a £300 million gambling debt has been found guilty. Nam Nguyen, of no fixed abode, was on trial at Oxford Crown Court, charged with one count of cultivating 272 cannabis plants on October the 9th last year in Abingdon. With the help of a Vietnamese interpreter, the 37-year-old told a jury last Thursday that he had got himself in a £300 million in debt while living in his hometown of Nhai An. He said that gangsters proposed to bring him to the UK to work for them and pay off his debt. However, he claimed that he did not know that the work would be growing cannabis. When asked why he never tried to escape or call the police, Nguyen claimed that he was too scared, as the gangsters had threatened to kill him. He cried on the stand while giving evidence in his trial. However, a jury found that Nguyen was lying and found him guilty. He was sentenced at the end of last week in the same court for 15 months imprisonment. It was also heard that Nguyen was now liable for deportation. A forfeiture and destruction order was also made for the drugs and paraphernalia seized.
A prolific burglar apologises for a return to crime. A burglar apologised to the judge for reoffending after he was jailed for 40 months. Paul Godfrey of Tyrrell's Way, Sutton Courtenay, was sentenced at Oxford Crown Court on Friday for several counts of burglary of a dwelling and theft by finding. It was heard that the 44-year-old had previously been sentenced in 2022 to a community order with a drug rehabilitation residential placement for similar offences, but had begun reoffending in 2023 to fund his drug habit. Judge Ian Pringle said Mr. Godfrey and I are well known to each other, and it's a shame because he did remarkably well on the rehabilitation course. But like a lot of people, when you come away from that part of the course, you start to slip. Before being taken to the cells underneath the courts, Godfrey said, "My apologies to you, Mr. Pringle. You gave me the opportunity before and I failed." The court heard that on January the 12th this year, Godfrey had entered a home in Hurst Street, Oxford, with the intent to steal. He was caught on a Ring doorbell climbing through the window before later leaving through the front door. He stole a number of bank cards, spare car keys, and spare keys to the house, which all needed to be replaced. On March the 5th, he targeted a property in Stratfield Road, Oxford. A few months earlier, on December the 11th, 14th and the 29th, Godfrey had stolen parcels from the front doorsteps of homes in Didcot. One of the parcels that he stole included Christmas presents. A court heard Godfrey had a number of previous convictions, including 3 thefts, 11 dwelling burglaries, 4 handling stolen good offences and 4 failures to attend court. Defending the 44-year-old barrister, Brian James said when Godfrey had come out of a rehabilitation programme and returned to Oxford, his terminally ill sister had died. Mr. James said he relapsed into the use of drugs to cope with the grief, which turned into further offending to fund the habit. He added that Godfrey was remorseful for what he had done and wanted to apologise to people impacted by the incidents. Mr. James has said nothing really mattered to him at the time because of his offending. Judge Pringle said, "I know there was personal sadness in your life, and there's nothing I or anyone else can do about that, and you went off the rails."
Bakery named among best in Britain. A bakery on the edge of Oxford has been named one of the best in Britain. Proof Social Bakehouse, an open-plan cafe on the Sandford Lane Industrial Estate in Kennington, has made the Telegraph's list of bakeries worth queuing up for. The cafe is in full view of the working bakehouse run by the head baker, Paul Dickinson. The bakery was opened in 2022 by Tap Social Movement, which runs the Tap Room in Botley and the White House in Abingdon Road, as well as coffee shop Missing Bean. Tap Social Movement is a social enterprise brewery and hospitality organisation that provides paid training and employment to people who have been in prison. According to its website, the organisation has worked with more than 40 ex-offenders, offering at least 60,000 hours of paid employment. A statement said, "Proof Social Bakehouse is an artisan wholesale bakery and cafe in Oxford that creates a range of sourdough, breads, pastries and more." Millie Kenny Ryder, writing for The Telegraph, said, "The fruit danishes are bestsellers, but Proof also caters generously for vegans with an impressive spread of dairy-free options. The baristas pour a great flat white with Oxford's best love Missing Bean coffee."
Frustration over careless McLitterers. A councillor is urging customers not to throw litter onto neighbouring streets after buying fast food from a new McDonald's branch. David Rain shared pictures on Facebook of cups, paper bags and cartons all found within a 10-metre stretch of Station Road in Didcot. The fast food giant opened a new restaurant at the Orchard Centre in January. Mr. Rain, who's a ward member for Didcot North East, said, "The blame for this litter lies mainly with the customers. They are the ones who choose to drop litter rather than put it in the bin, which is only a few metres away. However, the reason why you see so much McDonald's litter compared to other shops is, firstly, they do use a lot of wrapping, with each item being individually wrapped, and secondly, that their food is presented in a way which makes it easy to eat whilst walking in the street rather than sitting down." Mr. Rain said he has had difficulty getting a response from McDonald's, but has texted the mobile number which the firm publicises for orders with the pictures of the litter and invited it to join in on one of the upcoming community litter picks. He added, "We care about our town and lots of people work hard to make it look good. We want to welcome McDonald's and the other new shops opening the town into this family." McDonald's was contacted but did not respond.
Hedgerow helpers. Two environmental organisations have paid tribute to the hundreds of volunteers who have helped to plant and restore hedgerows. Hedgerow Heroes, run by Campaign to Protect Rural England, Oxfordshire and Wild Oxfordshire, saw nearly 400 people take part. Their collective effort regenerated 500 metres of hedgerows and established more than 2.5 kilometres of new green borders this winter.
On the notice board this week, just a quick reminder that our annual general meeting will take place this Saturday, 11 a.m, 20th of April, at the Wellbeing Centre in Abingdon. At the end of this week's recording, you'll find a recording of all the AGM documents for your information. That's the agenda, last year's minutes and a treasurer's report. And of course, you are all welcome. To continue my Word of the Month series, today I've chosen Red Letter Day. The origins of this lay in Rome with the beginning of the Roman calendar, which is calculated from the 21st of April, 753. The traditional date given for the founding of Rome by Romulus and Remus. Particularly significant days in the Roman calendar were rubricated, i.e. written in red. Inks containing red ochre or vermilion were particularly prized and reserved for writing of significance, the titles and preferences to books, for example, while an extremely expensive red-coloured ink was used by the emperor for writing his edicts, written on an album or white table. By the 14th century, red ink was used for individual characters or words in a manuscript that contained particularly significant information. On ecclesiastical calendars, red indicated a saint's day or another Christian festival. All other days were written in black. These became known as red letter days, and many modern calendars continue the practice. The meaning of the expression now has broadened to describe any day that is pleasantly noteworthy or memorable. The following people have sadly passed away, and our thoughts and prayers are with their family and friends as always. Simon Howell, known as Taffy. Christine Parsons, who was 76. June Dora Pollard, was 92, and Ronald Shurey was 84. Martin Fawcett, aged 85, Susan Harley, Wynne Coleman, aged 94, and Avril Jones, aged 84. Audrey Hayes, Roger Lucas, Vera Newman, aged 95, and Teresa Hickling, 98, and Eve Wardle. We continue with a story about a GP shortages in Abingdon.
GP access worry at the short-staffed base. Patients at a surgery in Abingdon complain they are experiencing lengthy delays getting to see their GP. The Malthouse surgery at the Charter has staff shortages, and as a result, some patients are having problems securing appointments. A statement on the surgery's website says new GPs are now being recruited and it asks patients to book appointments only if they have a truly urgent need. Two new GPs have already been hired, according to the practice manager. The statement says, due to a recent surge in demand for our services and temporary staffing shortages, we are currently experiencing a limited availability of appointments. We recognise this situation is not ideal and we want to assure you that we are actively working on solutions to increase our capacity and make appointments more readily available. One patient posted on Facebook, we have had to use both 111 and the AE on at least three occasions recently because we have found it impossible to reach the Malthouse. At 91 and 84 years old, this leaves us feeling rather desperate and betrayed, in brackets, by the government. Another patient said she had been registered with the Malthouse surgery since she was born, but had now decided to register elsewhere. A fellow patient also said she had struggled to get an appointment, and posting on Facebook, she said, I rang and was told they were up to capacity and that I must ring at precisely 8 a.m. the following day. So I did ring, and I rang 27 times from 8 a.m. to 8:13 a.m., which just went straight to voicemail, saying they were busy. They finally put the phones on at 8:13, and I was already 11th in the line. When I finally got through, I was told they were up to capacity again. Another patient wrote on Facebook, "Talking from my experience, I cannot fault the Malthouse surgery. I have had to contact them a lot these past few months, and I've always managed to get a phone call or an appointment at the surgery." Practice manager Paul Drinkwater said, "Here at the Malthouse surgery, we are committed to providing the best possible care to our patients. We've undertaken a thorough review of our working practices to improve efficiency. And additionally, we're pleased to announce an ongoing recruitment campaign that has already yielded positive results. We've secured two new salaried GPs who will be joining the surgery in the coming months, bolstering our team. And we are continuing to develop our new workforce as GP assistants to improve patient care." Mr. Drinkwater said a robust triage system ensured patients with urgent needs were seen the same day. With hundreds of new homes, increasing pressure has put on the four existing GP practices, Sturt Street Surgery, the Malthouse Surgery, Long Furlong Medical Centre and Marcham Road Family Health Centre. About £1 million from developers was agreed for a satellite GP surgery in North Abingdon, and the land identified, but no GP has been willing or has wanted to take up the project.
Police seize more vehicles from uninsured motorists. Vehicle seizures from uninsured driving in the Thames Valley surged by nearly 14% in 2023, according to police figures. In 2022, Thames Valley Police seized 3,137 vehicles, that rose to 3,564 in 2023. For drivers involved in an accident with someone who does not have insurance, costs covering medical treatment, property fixes, and additional support can leave them out of pocket. Every month, UK police forces disclose vehicle seizures statistics to the Motor Insurers Bureau, MIB. It aims to minimise uninsured driving across the country and compensates those involved in incidents with uninsured or hit-and-run drivers. Automatic number plate recognition cameras integrated into police vehicles help officers identify uninsured vehicles. If pulled over, drivers lacking proof of insurance see vehicles seized. Offenders can face 6 points on their licence, a fixed fine of £300, or an unlimited fine should the case escalate to court. Additional penalties can include the cost of releasing the vehicle and potential driving disqualification. To regain control of a vehicle, owners must buy a valid insurance policy, often at a premium cost due to their uninsured driving history. Non-compliance could result in the vehicle being crushed. Superintendent Colin Hudson, head of the Joint Operations Road Policing Unit, said, "In many cases, vehicles being deliberately driven without insurance are an indicator for other offences. For example, our roads policing teams will routinely stop vehicles for having no insurance and further uncover the driver has no licence or the car is stolen or there is evidence of crime, often serious in nature. The collaboration between the police and MIB leads to the identification and removal of dangerous uninsured vehicles from the streets." Simon French, Law Enforcement Liaison Officer at MIB, said those driving without insurance tended to cause more frequent and devastating accidents. Out of the 3,564 seized vehicles, 586 were of interest to operating tutelage, leading to the arrest of 138 drivers for various offences and 354 additional convictions. Operation Tutelage is a national policing initiative to tackle uninsured driving. The operation revealed an extra 492 offences beyond the initial lack of insurance. Mr. French said, "We work closely with the police throughout the year, including our colleagues across Thames Valley, to get dangerous uninsured vehicles off the road. Our message is simple. Drive with adequate insurance or you will be caught.
People wait months on autism diagnosis. Thousands of patients are waiting months for an autism diagnosis in Oxfordshire and two other counties. The National Institute of Health and Care Excellence has set a target time of 13 weeks for those with suspected autism to be assessed. But figures from NHS England show 6,655 people in the area covered by the NHS Buckinghamshire, Oxfordshire and Berkshire West Integrated Care Board had been waiting at least this long for an autism diagnosis at the end of 2023, 82% of them under the age of 18. This is up from the same point a year before when 5,385 people were waiting for 13 weeks or longer. Across England, referrals for autism have been on the rise for both adults and children. Analysis from think tank the Nuffield Trust shows the 172,000 open referrals in December is the highest figure ever and a fivefold increase since 2019. Thea Stein, chief executive of the Nuffield Trust, called the rise in demand unprecedented, saying the NHS was struggling to meet it. She urged, "We are only now beginning to recognise just how many people are neurodiverse. The challenge is that we have an obsolete health service model in place to deal with this avalanche of need. We need urgently to understand the different elements of this complex picture and find a whole system approach across education, society at large, and the health service," she added. Across the country, 136,000 people were referred to NHS autism services in 2023, with 5,035 of them in Buckinghamshire, Oxfordshire, and Berkshire. In 2022, there were 112,000 new referrals. An NHS spokesperson said, "The NHS is fully committed to supporting and improving the lives of those with ADHD and autism, which is why we have published new national guidance to help local areas manage the 50% increase in referrals they've seen. NHS England has also begun important work into investigating challenges in ADHD service provision, and last month launched a cross-sector task force alongside the government to help provide a joined-up approach for the growing numbers of people coming forward for support." Saffron Cordery, Deputy Chief Executive of NHS Providers, said improving the quality of care and access to service for autistic people must be a priority. That includes making sure that patients, carers and families are involved fully in decisions about their care. We need to make sure, too, that the full range of services on which autistic people rely are funded properly and prioritised nationwide, she added.
Coining it with Royal Mint licence, Wallingford began life in the late 9th century, built by King Alfred as a fortified town, a burgh, against Viking attack. Alongside Winchester, Alfred's capital, Wallingford, was the largest of over 30 such burghs, and its Saxon fortifications are the best example still surviving. By the reign of Alfred's grandson, Athelstan, 924 to 939, each of these burghs had been granted a license to mint coins, all silver pennies struck by hand. Each coin bore the head of the king on one side and the name of its place of origin and its moneyer on the reverse. To make coins, the moneyer first melted down his silver, cooled it until it was pliable, and then beat it into thin sheets. He cut a small square of silver to place between the two halves of his coin die. The bottom part of the die, the pile, was engraved with the king's head, and the upper half, the trussle, had the image of the coin's back. The trussle was then struck once with a hammer to imprint the two designs, after which the new coin was trimmed by hand to make it circular. Each penny was about 1.5 centimetres wide. Thousands of pennies were minted, but if smaller amounts were required for trading, they would legally be cut in half or even into quarters. Every single silver pennies can gradually wear down with use and lose some of their original weight. They were also sometimes illegally clipped. To counteract such devaluation, late Saxon law demanded that all coins should be handed in for reminting every 3 years. The silversmith weighted the returned coins and gave back newly made ones to the same weight. Inevitably, the new money was often less than the face value of the old coin. However, the system ensured that English coinage was trusted for European trading. The Norman invasion of 1066 saw no major changes to the English coinage system. Interestingly, the Domesday Book description of Wallingford in 1086 includes mention of the town's moneyer. He was exempt from customary taxes so long as he made coins. This man would have been a silversmith or goldsmith by trade, making coins part-time. The name Goldsmiths Lane appears in Wallingford's medieval documents and still survives, probably denoting the area in which such craftsmen worked. By 1124, Henry I became aware that silver coinage was being widely debased and devalued with impurities. He took extreme measures at the sides of moneyers. All moneyers were summoned to Winchester, where Henry ordered that their right hands and other appendages should be chopped off. The change of personnel that inevitably followed ensured the pure silver content of coins for many years. There was a significant drop in the number of mints operating, but Wallingford continued. Control of coinage must have been considered lucrative, as in 1247, Richard, Earl of Cornwall, the wealthy brother of Henry III, agreed to accept control of all English coinage for the 5 years in return for lending the king £10,000. At the time, Richard held Wallingford Castle and was responsible for building the unusual third wall. Wallingford's mint closed in 1279 when Edward I reduced the licenses in southern England to only 5 coinage centres: London, Canterbury, Bury St Edmunds, Bristol, and Exeter.
An opera summer celebration ahead. Tickets have gone on sale for the return of an annual 10-day celebration of opera and classical music this summer. Walter Perry Opera Festival offers productions, concerts and workshops for opera enthusiasts and beginners. The event, first staged in 2017, is from August the 9th to the 18th at Walter Perry House. Artistic director Guy Varel Withers said, "We have created an ambitious season of productions with returning favourites and exciting new ventures. Our broad programme has something for everyone." Highlights include The Barber of Seville, The Turning of the Screw, Peter and the Wolf, plus Mozart and Mendelssohn's serenades.
Railway unveils restoration blue plaque. A blue plaque has been unveiled at Didcot Railway Centre in recognition of the restoration of its water tank. Andy Savage, chair of the Railway Heritage Trust, was joined on Wednesday by Tim Headley-Jones, executive director of the Railway Heritage Trust, and Anne Middleton from Didcot Railway Centre. The Trust partially funded the refurbishment efforts along with the Centre's members who contributed to the funding appeal. The Great Western Trust also received a wall-mounted table chronicling the contribution of the 18 chief civil engineers of the Great Western Railway, British Railways Western Region. Constructed by Philip Rees, a former chief civil engineer, instrumental in upgrading the Great Western Main Line, the table lists names from Brunel to David Harris. Mr. Rees was the driving force behind upgrading the Great Western Main Line from London through Didcot to Bristol and Swansea, ready for faster trains. The table's timeline ends in 1992, marking the establishment of Intercity as a standalone business, thus representing the end of the British Railways Western Region. The next restoration project will be the 1932 engine shed, which will see new areas opened to the public.
care residence in National Flutter. Residents and staff at a care home in Wallingford enjoyed the Grand National with a sweepstake. Waterside Court organised a sweepstake with pretend bets where winners bagged chocolate prizes while cheering for their favourite jockeys on Saturday, April the 13th. General Manager Clem said, "We've had a fantastic time celebrating the Grand National, such a great event to watch, and we all had fun cheering on the horses and jockeys. We all had a little flutter between ourselves, even though none of us has much of a clue about odds or form." Resident David added, "I love the Grand National, such a fantastic spectacle. I haven't got a clue about the horse racing, I just choose the colours I like best."
Masked gang in raid on petrol station shelves. A petrol station was burgled with £600 worth of items stolen by a masked gang driving an Audi. The incident occurred at the Merco petrol station on the High Street in Sutton Courtney, near Abingdon, during the early hours. A silver Audi TT was seen on CCTV to be parked up on the forecourt directly outside the door to the garage shop just after 1 a.m. on April the 11th. Two people got out of the vehicle, police said, with both of them dressed in black and wearing face coverings. One of the people smashed the upper window of the main door and the other entered the store through the window. The second raider then appeared to grab items from the petrol station shelves before climbing out of the shop. The vehicle then made off from the scene with its haul of stolen goods. Items to a value of around £500 to £600 appear to have been stolen from within the premises, according to the police. Thames Valley police officers are now investigating the incident and have appealed to the public for help. In a statement addressing the burglary investigation, officers confirmed that no arrest had yet been made.
Pet store opens following closure of another shop. A new pet shop has opened in Abingdon following the closure of another after 30 years. After three decades in business, Sinis closed the doors for the final time in March, but a new shop has been opened by a regular customer. Sinis employees, Paul, Tara and Megan, were hired by their new boss, Lee, to manage a new store called Freddy's in Coxeter's Yard. Just across the car park from the former Sinis, Freddy's have been open since April the 2nd. The store is still waiting for some items, but will cater to pets such as horses, chickens, small animals, fish, and, introducing for the first time in Abingdon, reptiles. Lee has secured a lease for the Coxeter's House building.
Firms fund defibrillator for village's residents. Childgrove has an additional defibrillator installed in the village. Several local businesses joined forces to procure the life-saving device which was launched at the Brook Doctor's Surgery. Key contributors include Childgrove Gin Distillery, Ox Gins, landlords Kate and Fitz at the Lamb Pub, former Londis convenience store owner Bippin, and the housing association company Places for People. Andy Long, the area's first responder, lent his expert advice with the project, and Will Lakin from L&R Electrical Installation Limited installed the defibrillator at no charge.
Takeaway criticised for food hygiene. An Indian takeaway has been slapped with a shockingly poor food hygiene rating following a snap inspection. Mahi Tandoori in Bridge Street, Abingdon, was given the score following an assessment on March the 6th. Vale of Whitehorse District Council's environmental health team were left disappointed in what they found, noting that improvement was necessary. Inspectors decided to give the establishment a lowly 2 out of 5 hygiene rating as a result of their findings inside. The report stated that Mahi Tandoori's hygienic food handling required improvement, which refers to the preparation, cooking, reheating, cooling and storage of food. The cleanliness and condition of both the facilities and the building were then rated as generally satisfactory. This includes having an appropriate layout, ventilation, hand-washing facilities and pest control to enable good food hygiene. Mahi Tandoori's management of food safety was also given the same rating following the snap inspection by the environmental health team. This regards having a system of checks in place to ensure the food sold or served is safe to eat, and if there is evidence that staff know about food safety, It also concerns whether or not the food safety officer has confidence that standards will be maintained in the future.
RAF crew drops tons of aid into war zone. Over 53 tons of aid have been dropped into Gaza by an aircraft and crew based at RAF Brize Norton. The RAF Atlas and crew also took part in a large-scale international airdrop on April the 9th to coincide with EID marking the end of Ramadan. Led by the Jordanian Armed Forces, the international operation saw nine nations and 14 aircraft drop hundreds of tons of essential aid. It was the largest airdrop of aid into Gaza in a single day and the culmination of careful planning to ensure that complex mission could be conducted safely and effectively. The Atlas flew from Amman, Jordan, to deliver over 10 tons of supplies, including ready to eat meals, water and rice, along the northern coastline of Gaza. The flight took around an hour, with other nations' aircraft dropping aid throughout the course of the day. Foreign Secretary and former PM and Whitney MP David Cameron said, "Thousands of people in desperate need will benefit from this united effort. The UK remains ready to play its part in getting supplies in by land, air and sea, but the people of Gaza need more."
That is the last news item for this week. Hope you've enjoyed listening to the newspaper this week. I thank the Herald and other local sources for the items I've used, and I thank all our volunteers for their time. Goodbye, and thank you for listening.